You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, Hour 1 on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Did I tell you I got a puppy? Oh, yeah, that's right, I did. I spent a lot of time yesterday. We brought her in, so she's in the back with Tyler, and Tyler is sitting there as a babysitter. I just heard her, hey, how's she doing? Should I go check on her? It's like when you have a baby and you try to be quiet around the baby when the baby takes a nap and you're just walking by. And then all of a sudden, you'll knock something down. And then you'll hear, and they're like, I'm just going to take a nap. That's the feeling we have. So we have a couple of dogs in here, Penny, and then, of course, we have Winnie. So Winnie is sitting by Tyler, the moderator. Yes, Eden.
Winnie sounds like the squeaky toy you give to a dog. All you hear is he's a little like,
No, that's Tyler.
Oh, that's Tyler.
Yeah, that is Tyler.
My bad.
That is Tyler. Welcome to the program. You can be involved in a variety of ways. You can dial us up. You can email. You can tweet. By the way, over 700 photos have been submitted for the calendar. If you have DP Show gear, send it in. You have to be signed up for the newsletter. Let us know what your birth date is, and you will be on the calendar. Mario, the French kid, doing a great job with the calendar, and that'll be out later on this fall, just in time for Christmas. Full disclosure here. I was so excited to watch my MVP candidate last night against the 76ers. I tuned in for Steph Curry. I had my drink. I had my puppy in bed. You know, she was asleep, and I was all alone. And I was settling in to watch Steph Curry light up McLovin's 76ers.
Nice. That's a big night.
Well, it didn't last long because Steph was throwing the ball away, had a couple of turnovers early. They were down like 10 to nothing. And I thought, you know what? Let me check out Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood or TMZ. I settle in watching those shows for an hour. I go, all right, I'm going to give Steph Curry one more chance. And I tune in, and all of a sudden, I couldn't turn away. He was lighting up the 76ers. And then you start to look at the numbers that he's put up in the last nine games. So he had 49 last night against Philadelphia, 47 against Boston, 33 against Cleveland, 42 against Oklahoma City, 53 against Denver, 38 against Houston, 32 against Washington, 41 against Milwaukee, 37 against Atlanta. Those are his last nine games. He didn't create the three-point shot, but he created the concept of taking a lot of threes, volume. And he won an MVP based off shooting threes, when you think about it. He changed the game. He changed the game more than any other player in history because everybody thinks that they can be like Steph Curry. I can't be like Shaq. I can't be like Michael Jordan. I can be like Steph Curry. Hey, you don't have to be fast, quick, powerful, jump out of the gym. You just have to be able to shoot with a high degree of difficulty from very, very deep. And it's not that easy. We all know that. But what he does, how he's done it, he gives us a subtle reminder occasionally because we love to move on. It's like, okay, we've seen Steph Curry. Who's next? And then you'll see Luka, or it's Joel Embiid, or the Greek Freak, Damian Lillard. Like, we move on. All right, we've seen this. And then Steph brings us back in. He reminds us, at age 33, he is still one of the most exciting, dynamic, interesting players of all time. And he was injured last year. They don't have Klay Thompson. Draymond Green is a good player, not a great player. James Wiseman is now out for the rest of the season, their first-round pick. Durant's gone. It's Steph Curry. Now, he's not going to win the MVP. But you're going to see and hear a lot of people tell you today, maybe he can get back into the MVP conversation. You know where I stand on the MVP. You want to give it to the Joker or Joel Embiid? Great. Joker had a great night last night. They won in double overtime over Memphis. But Steph Curry is having a wonderful season. Most games with at least 10 three-pointers all time. Steph Curry has done it 21 times, four times this month, four in the last 8 days. Klay Thompson is next on the list with five. James Harden 3, Damian Lillard 3, J.R. Smith 3, Zach LaVine 2. 28 players are tied with 1.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, bop, bop. Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Bop. Warriors beat the 76ers. Steph drops 49. But you start to look at what he has done to the league and how others have followed suit. Because if you watch a high school game, AAU, junior high game, kids think that that's a good shot, and it's not. But they think it is because Steph Curry does it. Well, there's only a couple of people in the history of the sport who can shoot anywhere near what Steph Curry does. And he's not stopping because he can't. He has to continue to do this. You know, they're trying to get in for the play-in game, fighting for their playoff lives here, and doing it in the Western Conference right now. Now, McLovin did say in a cynical voice this morning, well, who's he doing it against?
No, he's on this Eastern tour where nobody knows how to cover him, and he's dominating everybody.
Wait, after all these years, they don't know how to cover him.
These, like Atlanta, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, no, they have no, they don't know the Steph Curry rules. I know Denver was in that mix.
Wait, what are the rules?
Well, you have, I mean, you have to just really push at that pick and roll up that 40 feet away, and you got to cover him from 50 feet.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
If you, McLovin, on the Dan Patrick Show, know how to cover Steph Curry, don't you think other teams on the East Coast would have an idea how to cover him?
They don't. You think in season Atlanta's scouting Steph Curry? No, they have no idea. They should hire me because I could tell them how to stop Steph Curry. And by the way, there was another thing going on last night.
God.
He had his little brother on the court. He was so confident when Seth would match up with him. That was a big brother beating up a little brother.
Well, Seth got the better of him early, and then all of a sudden, Steph took over. But his brother was guarding him, and that's... he was not kind. He was picking on his brother last night. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, you're in a good mood this morning. I'm going to ruin it by saying, is it Steph Curry or was it the analytics of the Warriors that changed the game? Because they came in when Mark Jackson got fired and said, hey, the three is more valuable than the two. We want you to shoot 20 of these a game. I feel like some of that happened.
You still have to have somebody to do it.
Now everybody's got, I watch an NBA game, there's six guys who can shoot from 10 feet behind the arc. Not like him, but close.
You still have to have the people to be able to do it. Now you can talk about analytics. Mark Jackson was there before Steve Kerr, but Steve Kerr was a three-point shooter when he played, and you got Klay Thompson. They understood, hey, spacing and ball movement. And that's what they do better than anybody. That team... you know, those teams that won championships, the ability to move the ball was unprecedented. And they did it on the perimeter, and they did it in an unselfish manner. Now you don't have Klay Thompson, no James Wiseman. You got Wiggins, who's been pretty good the last week or so. But there's no real consistency where Steve Kerr goes, hey, I know I can count on that guy. It's basically Steph Curry. And Steve Kerr has run out of ways to describe Steph Curry's performances.
I don't know what else to say. You know, you guys ask me after every game what I think of Steph and his performance, and it's whatever I said last game, just use that tonight. Because it's the same thing after every game. It's just utter amazement at this guy's skill level, heart, mind, focus. It's... just amazing to watch.
Yeah, it is. And Steve Kerr played with Michael Jordan. So he's seen this. But this is a phenomenon. And I know that it's there on a nightly basis, not to the degree that we're seeing right now, but Golden State used to be prominently displayed. Primetime games, not anymore. But if you see it, you happen upon it, you're usually transfixed by what he does. Back when they were competing for championships, then we saw this all the time. Now you kind of have to find Steph Curry. Yes, McLovin.
You said before the season that if Klay was playing, that you weren't going to say the Warriors were a favorite, but they could be in the title mix. Do you think this team could have been top four or top three in the West?
I don't think they would be battling for a play-in spot. You know, maybe they're a fourth or fifth spot, but I thought that you get them in a series, they can beat anybody. And even now with Steph Curry, if Steph in a seven-game series has four of these kind of games, you might steal a first-round matchup here. But without Klay Thompson in there, then no, I don't think they would challenge for a championship. But I truly thought, I didn't like James Wiseman. I wanted them to take LaMelo Ball because I just thought, boy, that gives you another weapon on the perimeter, and he's so good at passing, and he can get to the hoop. I just thought that that would make it really, really interesting for defenses. And I thought they could challenge for a championship maybe next year. But, you know, Wiseman is still a project there. And Steph is 33. Klay Thompson hasn't played in a long time. And Draymond Green, Draymond's not getting better. I mean, he's sort of leveled off, and he knows who he is, how he plays, what he needs to do for this team. But they might make one more run, and that would be it. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Chris Sims, NBC Sports, will join us. We'll talk about the NFL draft, movers and shakers. I don't believe anybody who says something publicly when it comes to the draft, when it comes to teams. You know, it wasn't that long ago when the Cowboys were, quote unquote, reportedly intrigued by Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end. I'm intrigued by a lot of things. That doesn't mean I got a shot at that. I mean, hey, the Cowboys are intrigued by Kyle Pitts. Okay. Good luck getting him. He's not going to be there at 10. If you're intrigued, you don't say anything, and then you move up, and you may make a trade with the Dolphins at 6, and maybe he's there. Now the Cowboys are receiving phone calls about their 10th pick overall. Do you think they're really receiving phone calls, or would they like you to believe they're getting phone calls? Are they hoping to get phone calls? If you're getting phone calls, you wouldn't announce you're getting phone calls, would you? Here is Stephen Jones, the Cowboys COO, on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
You know, we're starting to get a few calls, and I think it'll only pick up as we get closer to next Thursday. It'll only pick up. And, you know, they kind of give you the call, hey, if our guy's there, you know, we'd be interested in moving up to the pick and may want to even, you know, throw out a few things like, well, what would it take? And they do say, hey, we've got a player or two or three that if they're there, we might be willing to be aggressive and give you something to move up to that pick.
All righty. Okay. Maybe so. Maybe somebody is interested in that pick and getting some phone calls there. That's usually when you're selling your house. You say, you better act on it now. I got a lot of interest in it. You got any offers? No, but a lot of interest. Yes, Todd.
That's a very car salesman sleazy cutter. Like, you know, is this the offer? And then they go out to the back and pretend they're talking to the invisible manager to give you $500 off. Come on.
The invisible manager.
Let me talk to my manager. I'll see what I could do. Yeah. But we have to make a little money off of this. I can't just give. I'm already giving you the car for free.
Yes, McLovin.
There are some reports that the Dolphins want to move back and the Eagles want to move up. And did they already do a trade from 6 to 12?
The Dolphins want to move up.
Oh, they want to move up or back?
They want to move up.
Oh, to get a quarterback?
No, they want to get Kyle Pitts, from what I'm told. Ooh.
There's a lot of reports in Philly the Eagles want to move up from 12 to 6, 7, or 8.
Yeah, I
shouldn't they have just gone back a month in life and they would have been at that spot?
I have no, that's why I'm so confused.
They were there.
I think they had the 6th pick a month ago.
I don't know if Miami, you're going to have to be in the top 5, I think, to get Kyle Pitts. It feels like that. But look, this is all interchangeable. It's all fluid, and you're trying to believe what somebody is telling you. And I don't believe when somebody publicly is representing a team is saying something. There's no reason to do that unless you're doing that to mislead. Yes, Paulie.
But you know what? Every day I change my mind because I hear one little nugget. I heard Dan Orlovsky, and I think he said he could see the Vikings drafting a quarterback. Now it's changed my whole thinking. I'm looking at the board. How did the Vikings go up? How could they get there?
Yes, Todd.
They've got much bigger fish to fry, but I always wonder if they're snickering behind closed doors as they watch these mock drafts once they say one of these things out to the media and watch someone from 2 go to 5 and 9 goes up to 3 based on something they just threw out there.
Well, remember where Mac Jones was 3 months ago. He wasn't in the first round, right? Kyle Wilson in October. Or Zach Wilson. You got Justin Fields. Wasn't he two a couple of months ago? Then he was dropping down. Maybe he'd be there for the Patriots at 15. Like, this is what happens when you get a lot of people involved in this and you feed the machine. The machine needs to be fed every single day. Every single day. Every single hour. You're clicking on a website. What do they have? You're looking for the headline there. Oh, Patriots could move up to 4. Okay, click. Falcons going to be moving out. Who could move up? You got to feed the machine. Yeah, see.
It's funny, right? Because, right, they might move up, which also means they might not.
Yeah. It's true.
They might, but they might not.
Yeah. I'm not an insider. I can play one on radio or TV. It's really easy to do it. Hey, I got a source. Well, nobody's going to say, hey, at gunpoint, who's your source? I'm not going to tell you. No, I can just say I have a source. Now, thankfully, I have people I can trust, and I give you information that proves to be true. But, you know, anybody can have a source. Or you get this. You know, I'm hearing. From who? I'm just hearing. It could be from my neighbor. Hey, my son. Hey, I'm hearing. Oh, okay. Like, okay, how do you prove that? Yeah, McLovin.
What's this about the Patriots moving to number 4?
No, just,
fill me in. I would stay in the car to hear the rest of this.
No. I'm just saying this is what people just put it out there. And it could be from somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. You know, it's the game of telephone. And that's always dangerous. That's why whenever I find out something, I always want to know, okay, where did this originate from? And what's the agenda there? Because it feels like everybody has an agenda. Like, why would that person tell this person who would then tell me? And this happened with Russell Wilson. I had no connection with Russell Wilson or his camp. Russ came on, said what he said, and then I followed up because I reached out to a source who said, hey, this is a marriage that cannot last. Okay. And then after that, I found out what the Bears were offering Russell Wilson. That didn't come from Russ's camp. And it didn't come from the Bears' camp because the Bears were not happy with me either. It was somebody who said, this is what's going on, and I trust this person. Do we have a poll question today? Chris Sims will join us coming up. By the way, Rebecca Lowe, the very talented NBC sports host, the Premier League, will join us coming up next hour.
Yeah.
Premiership.
So who would the Patriots take at number 4? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
We have a silly one here, but actually true. Which basic sports fact do you not know the answer to? How many innings are in a Major League Baseball game? How many NBA playoff teams there are? How many NFL games are they going to play next year? And what exactly is the Super League? Those are the 4 questions. Are there any easy answers there?
Well, baseball, I know it's 9 innings. It's the
that's not true.
The
can't
double
just say
header.
Most of the time,
most
it's 9 innings.
Most of the time, 9 innings.
Occasionally, a baseball game is 9 innings.
Yes. Yeah. Most of the time, it's 9 innings.
Unless you're playing twice, then it's only 7.
Then it's only 7. Get the supplement I take every day. It's M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Get me energized, stronger, leaner. Fritzy says sexier, but that's open to interpretation.
That's between you and I.
MDriveDan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. We'll take a break. Chris Sims will join us. Chris Sims has been saying for a long, long time that Mac Jones is going to the 49ers. The 49ers are doing their due diligence because they've gone to Justin Fields' pro days. They've gone to Trey Lance's pro days. Is he sold that they are locked in on Mac Jones? We'll talk to Sims. He'll join us coming up next. It's 20 after the hour, just getting started on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter. Just go to danpatrick.com. Mario will make sure you get the Cliff Notes version of the show. Also, some of the special events, sales we have on T-shirts, all of that through our newsletter. Fritzy just said, how many miles of space are there between I'm hearing and you have an actual source? Yeah, welcome to this business here. I'm hearing. No, I want to hear that you're hearing from a source. That's what I want to hear. This guy's got sources. Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live, co-host on Peacock, NBC Sports, NFL analyst. The team you're most intrigued about right now is who, Chris?
Oh, you mean like just as far as the draft's concerned, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
strategy.
Yeah. I mean, Ford Atlanta is very interesting, okay? I mean, we know why. I feel like we've talked about that a lot. So let me just throw a different one out because I am interested. Like, you know, all right, let's just hit on that. Matt Ryan, he's mid-30s. What is he, 36? I mean, we know this day and age right now, that's like 32 15 years ago. It's a different meaning now. You know, so what are they going to do? Well, they, you know, everybody has Trey Lance pinned to them. Are they really going to do the quarterback thing and, you know, get rid of a quarterback who I look at and go, he's got at least 2-3 good years left, at least, you know, or do they go with Kyle Pitts and make that offense like really special that way with Julio, Calvin Ridley and a Kyle Pitts? And I say, whoa, watch out. So I guess that would be the first team that would jump out to me. I have one other one. Do you want me to mention it or not?
Yeah, but you're on the clock with Atlanta. You got to make your pick right now. Who you take?
I'm going Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
I'm going Kyle Pitts. Yes. He's that special in all ways. He fits like more than one position for your offense. And I'm not just going to throw away a franchise quarterback that I look at to go, he's got at least 3 good years left to draft a quarterback for the future, way down the road where I can't see. And a quarterback who hasn't played in 2 years. And now we're going to let him sit behind another quarterback for a year? I mean, how long can we go without playing the position? That's why it doesn't make quite sense, all the sense to me, Dan.
Okay, so the other team you're intrigued by on draft night is who?
Carolina Panthers at number 8. I mean, really, this top 10 is all. But, like, okay, they answered their quarterback question. I'm more intrigued with them to go, what position is it that they're really looking for, right? I think that's the one I look at. I mean, we got the Bengals. I feel like it's going to be receiver or tackle. You know, we Dolphins, I think we all got a good feel for that. Detroit, I'm not sure. But, like, the Panthers have a lot of things on their roster to kind of like. You know, they have, I believe, tackles. They got Taylor Moton, Greg Little, who they drafted a few years ago. We know receiver duo, good. That's the one where I'm just not sure where they're going to go. They got Shaq Thompson and Hassan Reddick to play linebacker. They got 2 DNs who were drafted in the top 40 picks of the draft. So they're the team that I go, who is it going to be? And I guess what I'm thinking is they're going to take like the top corner off the board. Maybe that's where Patrick Surtain goes.
You have any problems with the profile with Sports Illustrated with Trevor Lawrence's comments that he doesn't play to win awards and he's not motivated the same way other quarterbacks, doesn't have a chip on his shoulder?
Well, it doesn't bother me. I mean, first off, what's he supposed to, I've had this conversation with Flory a little, like, what's he supposed to have a chip on his shoulder about right now? What? I want to be awesomer. Like, I want somebody to make me not number one. I want them to make me zero. Like, so he's got nothing to be chippy about so far, you know? And what I'll say to that too, you know, again, I think like being chippy and having that drive and all that, that's something that's kind of grown, right? You know, Michael Jordan, you can't beat the Celtics. You can't beat the Pistons. You can't get to the finals, all of that. You know, Tom Brady, of course, the pick in the draft and all that. So I think there's got to be some adversity in your career before you start to get that chip. But I will say this, you know, it's a fair question because people were questioning Justin Fields. And I feel like we're doing a disrespect to Justin Fields, who showed nothing but love for the football game. And if he made those comments, there would have been issues and people would have dissected it. And I think it is fair to at least dissect it with Trevor Lawrence and bring it up.
Imagine if Sam Darnold said this.
Right. I see ghosts. And now this too, right? I mean, yeah, I don't want to read too much into this, and different things motivate different players.
The only thing that it's going to stay with me for a little while, only because who would have thought that Andrew Luck 2 years ago would walk away from the game when they finally got the line good, team was good. He only was sacked 18 times, and he walked away from the game because I don't know how important football was to him. So that, yes. And remember, he was the guy that nobody criticized. He was the can't-miss prospect, the right. next John Elway, and right. he walked away from the game before he was 30 years of age.
I think that's, Dan, I think you're spot on. I think that's why it's a big topic of conversation. First off, I think everybody in the NFL has that, you know, scar from Andrew Luck or the fear of that happening to them on their radar. I mean, you said it right. The Colts are, imagine if the Colts right now had Andrew Luck, we'd be going, are they the favorites to go to the Super Bowl? Are they the top three favorites to go to the Super Bowl? Yeah. All those type of things. Remember, it was kind of a question last year with Justin Herbert, right? When he was coming out. Oh, he's smart. He has other interests in life. He's never really left the Oregon area. Would he be one of those guys? So teams are looking for that, and I think you're exactly right. That's why that's probably being a little over-evaluated.
We're talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host on Peacock NBC Sports. But I maintain that we will talk ourselves out of somebody we're going to draft. It's rare when you talk yourself in. You're looking for what's the negative here. And, yeah. and instead of going, what does that guy do that's positive? And I go back to Patrick Mahomes. Teams talked themselves out of Patrick Mahomes because they thought that he was Favre-like, careless, did it in the Big 12, didn't win a lot.
Right.
And so you talk yourself out of it instead of saying, what kind of command does this guy have? Like his presence, his arm,
right, sure.
the imagination, all of those things. And, you know, Justin Herbert, remember, he's too quiet. He's not yes. a leader. He's too quiet.
Right. He's a bubble boy. He's been in a bubble.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
that's what happens here. You talk yourself. I think teams are talking themselves out of Justin Fields. I think they're going, you know, here's the knock. What more do you want from a quarterback than what he has given you on a national stage?
Sure. Listen, I understand that. And I'm with you with the overanalyzing thing. Listen, we can go through a lot of players like that, right? Like DK Metcalf, you know, what was there not to like? Oh, one of the greatest athletes on the planet. We didn't see his full route tree. Oh, no, I don't know if one of the greatest athletes on the planet could go to that white line and make a right-hand turn. I'm not sure. Let's knock him down.
Remember, he was a workout wonder. Oh, you
right,
know, he can't stay
right.
healthy and work out. Okay. All right. But
yeah.
What does he have? That's what I want to know, because I'm going to play to your strengths.
Agreed. Exactly right. You're going to play to those strengths. You're not going to ask him to do things like that. And, you know, for a lot of the times, I don't think people just take it for what it is. Your analogy with Mahomes is right. I mean, it is. Oh, he has some Brett Favre in him. Okay, why? Because he throws off his back foot or he has a strong arm? He didn't throw a ton of interceptions or make bad decisions in college. It wasn't like you were watching the film going, whoa, this kid's stupid. This is crazy. You know, so you're right. They do overanalyze. Justin Fields, sure, he's under the microscope. There's no doubt about it. I do feel like the narrative around him was probably a little bit more positive than it should be going into this process. You've heard me say this before. I do think the people that, you know, that really matter as far as the evaluators, the reason you're hearing these questions about Justin Fields is because they're rising up the ranks out of their mouths and people in important positions in the NFL that have those issues. And he's a boom or bust prospect for me. That's what he's okay. really tricky. He's yeah. a tough eval. You know, Dan, first off, to like what you would say, I would go, listen, all the quarterbacks at Ohio State have looked really good for the last 10 years. All right. So they're going to win and have open receivers and look awesome and all of that. You know, but we're talking about a guy that's being talked about top five. And there's just, I think, some things that have his game, especially with just the amount of throws where I think you see sometimes and you just go, whoa, how could he be this good and then miss these throws like this to this degree?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's ultimately what's scaring teams more than anything about Justin Fields.
How much time did you and Florio spend on Julian Edelman Hall of Famer?
we'd spent a segment on it, Foxborough forever. yeah, we did. I mean, I think we squashed it pretty quick. NFL legend, Patriot legend. You know, I'll always think of him that way. But Hall of Famer, you know, I think that's a little crazy in my opinion.
But is it Hall of Fame or Hall of Stats? Because if I look at fame, Julian Edelman has fame in the biggest games.
Yes. Well, but, you know, I could also argue, you know, they didn't get there in those games because of him necessarily. He wasn't the primary reason. He was just a really important piece.
He won the MVP.
I get it. You know, the MVP's lost its luster a little too. He's an awesome football player. He's awesome.
Wait. When did the Super Bowl MVP lose its luster?
When they just vote for the quarterback every year. It's just quarterback. Hey, the defense was awesome. Quarterback. Hey, you guys scored 13 points. Quarterback. I mean, it's all about that.
Well, I would have given somebody on the defense the MVP in this last Super Bowl, not Tom Brady.
Agreed. That Super Bowl, I think the Rams-Patriots one we're talking about there, that should be a defensive MVP. I mean, we could go back to Brady's first MVP against the Rams, right? I mean, come on. Ty Law had a pick six. The defense was the show of the day. That was the greatest show on turf. You know, the Giants with Strahan and Justin Tuck when they did the Brady in that Super Bowl. That's why I get a little frustrated with the Super Bowl MVP.
Whose career would you want? Calvin Johnson's, Julian Edelman.
Ooh. It's a good one.
And I'm going to let really you factor in money, too.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even factoring that in. I mean, as a competitor, a showman, a guy that loves football, you know, in a lot of ways, I'd probably take Julian Edelman. You know, all the big games you get to play in, like you talked about, and be a part of the Patriot way and everything like that. You get to play with Brady and learn from Belichick and all of that and play more years. You know, I don't know. There's a part of me that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, being the tallest, fastest, freakiest guy on the field is pretty awesome, too. Like, Dan, I went and threw to Calvin Johnson and his pro day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right after I lost my spleen, okay? This was one of my first...
Oh, boo-hoo, you lost your spleen.
Yeah, screw that organ.
Come on.
It's overrated.
You got
the hell
two
with
of
that
them.
Thing. No, you don't. You only got one.
<I know>.
But, but this was one of my first moments of where, after I heard it, I went, whoa, I don't think I'm normal. Something's wrong here. I flew to Georgia with John Gruden and Bruce Allen to throw the ball to Calvin Johnson. And... as I'm warming up, I'm going, wait, I feel like I have no control over this football. What the hell is wrong with me? But either way, I threw so many crappy passes during that workout. And this guy just was go gadget arms or jump through the roof to get it or turn and twist his body. He caught everything. I looked amazing. I mean, it was really a show, a spectacle. And he was a truly, truly special specimen. If he could catch those throws I was throwing that day.
Yeah. Would you rather have the career of your dad?
Yeah.
Or Dan Marino?
Oh, that's a good one. Ooh, man. I've said this to my dad before, and I was like, I don't know. I brought this up with him, and he's like, well, damn, the hell with my Super Bowl rings. I want Dan's money. That's what he said. So that's where dad falls on it.
So your dad would take Dan Marino's career.
My dad would take Dan's, and I'd probably take Dan's too.
Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Chris.
Anytime. Be good, guys.
That's Chris Sims. He doesn't have a spleen. Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host with Mike Florio. Who knows what a spleen does? I'm looking at the back row here. Todd, do you know what a spleen does?
I thought my guess would be have to do it with wastes and breaking down things so you can get the most out of your
McLovin?
Nutrition, or probably not.
Yeah, it filters poisons out of your system, much like what Todd just said.
Okay.
Or it creates some sort of hormone.
Okay.
But like, I thought a gallbladder.
But I think that's the pancreas that does that.
But there's a gallbladder, there's kidneys, there's...
What's your liver do then? I thought your liver did all those things.
Yeah.
But your kidney also does those things.
Paulie, what do you think a spleen does?
I don't know where it is. Like, if I had a point on my body, I would have no idea. I thought it had something to do with preventing infection. That's been my best guess.
It's hard to a spleen. I think we can...
Thank you, Tom.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, I know.
I was waiting for something. No. Somebody's got some spleening to do.
That's what I was not waiting for. Yes, McLovin.
I can't even make up a guess. What's a gallbladder do?
I don't know. But let's stay on the spleen. Seton?
It's like there's like you have a bladder and then a gallbladder. That one's a little more feisty. The gall of that bladder.
Feisty.
I like that.
Can we look up what the...
I like just making it up.
Like, it's one of those that you don't want to know what it does until you have to know what it does. Yes, Paulie.
The spleen is part of the body's lymphatic system. The lymphatic system helps remove waste, maintain fluid balance, and prevent infections while keeping white blood cells for the immune system. Mm. It is also responsible for making substances that play an important role in inflammation and healing.
Yes, Eden.
You want to talk about a terrible job? Gallbladder's got it. You want to know what gallbladder does?
Yes.
Gallbladder is a small pouch that sits just under the liver. The gallbladder stores bile produced by the liver. That's just the worst.
That's like a landfill. That's a landfill of body parts.
That's the landfill of body parts. It's like it's the bile from the liver, and the liver is the...
But I bet it's necessary. Seems necessary.
But it's the overflow from the liver.
Before a meal, the gallbladder may be full of bile and about the size of a small pear.
Oh. The spleen sits in the upper left part of your abdomen. It's located behind your ribs. It can't be in front of your ribs. And under your diaphragm. And above and behind your stomach.
Yes, Todd.
I had my gallbladder removed a few years ago. I don't know if that explains things more or less, but they took it. I was getting a lot of heartburn, and they just decided, you know what, let's get rid of that. But it sounds like it's a lot more important than an appendix.
Who has their appendix? Like, I still have mine. I still got my tonsils.
I still have my tonsils. I still have my wisdom teeth.
I still have my wisdom teeth, too.
Yeah.
And I think they're in there for life. I don't think they're coming out. Yeah.
At this stage?
Yeah. I had my adenoids out. I don't know what those are, but I had them out.
But that's attached to your tonsils, right? Is that the package deal, your tonsils and adenoids?
I had to have them taken out because when I was a kid, I got ear infections a lot. And then they took out whatever my adenoids are, and then they stopped.
Who's had something taken out recently?
As a young man, I had empathy and caring taken out. And
just had those removed.
Well, no, you never had it.
Oh, my God.
Get rid of those, Doc.
Like, I had my knee taken out, my old knee.
You can't take out a knee. I think they shave it down and then replace parts, right? So
I had parts of my knee taken.
But you weren't kneeless. But they shave stuff off, right? Don't they have to shave
bone? I think
bones?
They saw it. Todd, I know you've had stuff removed.
I always was flattered, even as a youth, when I would open my mouth to see if I had strep throat, and they'd say, wow, you have huge tonsils. And somehow I just felt like I ended up walking with my chest out at the end of that appointment.
It looks like Todd's had stuff put in, not taken out.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Let's take a break. Play of the Day is coming up next. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seton and Pauly brought up the Super League. I said, who do you want to have on? I said, well, let's get Messi. And then they said, we can't get Messi. I said, what about Ronaldo? And they said, we can't get Ronaldo. I said, well, then get Rebecca Lowe. They said, we'll reach out. Rebecca Lowe, the presenter of NBC Sport Group's Premier League coverage, pre- and post-match, the Premier League Live. They have a match today at 2 Eastern. You have... Chelsea and Brighton coming up at 2 Eastern. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Dan Patrick, lovely to see you. I'm very well, and I will come third behind Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo any day of the week.
Now, I would pass on Messi because I don't think he's a great interview. So you're second on the list behind Ronaldo.
Oh, appreciate that. Okay, I'll go above Messi. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, let's say I'm a child and you're going to explain the Super League to me. Okay. How would you do it?
Oh my goodness, what a question. Okay, I would explain that currently in the Premier League, there are 20 teams, and there always have been since it was formed in the early 90s. Six of those teams who have self-branded themselves the Big Six. So we're talking Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham, and Chelsea. And yes, they are six very big clubs, and they tend to do better than any other club in the Premier League. Those Big Six have gotten together rather secretly, it has to be said, with some other very big clubs across Europe. We're talking AC Milan, Juventus in Italy, Inter Milan, Barcelona, Real Madrid in Spain. And there will be, they are saying, they have signed a contract to create their own midweek European Super League, ESL is what they're calling themselves, which will take place. They want it to start as soon as possible in August, and it will take place midweek throughout the season, but it will let those clubs still play in their domestic leagues in the UK or in France or in Italy or in Spain. The problem with the situation is that this is a ring-fenced league. This is, for want of a better word, an Americanized league. So once you're in, you're in. You're never going to get out. No matter if you become rubbish overnight, you're in, you're in. You can only go into it on the proviso that you have an amazing one season in your league, but then you might have to lose it again. You might have to go out again. The ones that found and actually have created this league can never fall out of it, which means they will get very, very rich. JP Morgan is backing this league as things stand. They are due for around over £4 billion to share between them. So when they get that rich and they go back to their domestic league, the gap between the likes of United and City and Chelsea and Liverpool, and then the likes of Burnley, Crystal Palace and Southampton will be bigger than ever before, which will mean ultimately competition disappears out of the Premier League. And as Pep Guardiola, the Manchester City manager, said this morning, it is not sport if it doesn't matter if you lose. And if these teams lose in this European Super League, it doesn't matter. There's no relegation. They stay forever. So there is a lot of controversy around this. But that is it in a nutshell, a breakaway controversial league.
When did this start? When did they start forming this?
Well, Dan, I've got to tell you, I remember being a child in the UK. I mean, you know, not that long ago, but back in the late 80s, and people were talking about a Super League, a European Super League. I mean, there was even talked about it in 1964 in some of the newspapers in England. So this has been rumbling for decades, but really, we don't know the full disclosure of how this all took place, because it's happened so quickly. It was announced on Sunday night, out of the blue, very late English time, about 11 p.m. in England. It shocked everybody how quickly it's come out. So this has obviously been in the works for quite some time.
How do you how is this prevented? How do they combat this?
Well, at the moment, the backlash, if anyone listening and watching this has been on Twitter recently, I'm sure they've seen it. James Corden even talked about it last night on his Late Late Show. The backlash is overwhelming. It's the biggest story I've ever worked on in nearly 20 years of being in this industry. It's the biggest backlash I've ever seen. So how does it get combated? Well, rumours today that Chelsea and Manchester City are wobbling. Some of the top football journalists in the UK are saying those two clubs did not realise the backlash would be so big. They're wobbling. So if one or two of the clubs pulls out, it will probably crumble. Money, obviously, is a huge thing. JP Morgan, are they okay with this bad PR? If they stay on board, that's good for the Super League. If they decide, actually, don't really want our name associated with something which is getting so much criticism, that's a problem. And then you've got the fans. And down the fans, I've heard fans over the last 24 hours on shows like yours, but in England, saying, I've been a Manchester United supporter for 40 years. Here's my season ticket. I'm done with my club. And I'm not talking one fan. I'm talking thousands. And only this morning, the grandson of Bill Shankly, the great Liverpool manager, the man that really is in every single sinew of that club, the grandson of Bill Shankly has told Liverpool Football Club, remove the statue of my grandfather from outside Anfield. So this groundswell, plus the players have come out and said they don't want it. A lot of them have. And managers like Guardiola. It's a huge pushback. So I suppose somebody has to crumble at some point under this pressure or withstand it. And it's up to these big clubs whether or not these owners really want to go forward with this.
I was also wondering about the role that the American owners are going to play in this, because they don't live there. And, you know, you're going to have Man United, Liverpool, and the impact that they could have removed from this. The role that loyalty is going to play in all of this is what?
The culture is very, very different, Dan. You and I have talked about this many times when we've talked about relegation and the difference between America and the UK. And I think that's something that really has to be understood about English football. We're talking about institutions like United, like Liverpool, John Henry, the Glazer family, Stan Kroenke at Arsenal. These clubs were established over 120 years ago and by local people for local towns and for cities to keep the community close and to do great things like we've seen throughout the pandemic in the community. And I think over in this country, here in the United States, they're perhaps quite isn't that link between huge clubs and their local communities. They haven't been around as long. They weren't created by local men, local working class men for working class fans. So the loyalty that seeps through English football is incomparable really to anything over here. So when you look at it from the owner's point of view, from the American owner's point of view, I can see that it's difficult to understand. They don't understand why anybody would have relegation. Why would anybody threaten a club's future? But that's all part of what makes English football so beautiful, because it's competitive, it's sporting merit, it's how good are you on the day and how good can you be? Can you really pull off this amazing result against a huge team? And we see it all the time, and that's what makes the Premier League, in my view and many others, the greatest league in the world in any sport. So I think loyalty, they may be coming up against a bit of a surprise with this backlash, because the loyalty is a huge part of this game. And I think also we have to look at ourselves as well, Dan, because 15 years ago, these clubs were owned by fans and by local businessmen. Well, they sold out. They did sell out to American owners, to Russian owners like Roman Abramovich at Chelsea. And now, 10, 15 years on, we're seeing that maybe that was the reason why these business owners wanted to buy these clubs and maybe turn them into these European superpowers. So, you know, a lot of things have gone wrong over the years, and a lot of people are now looking at themselves. So I think loyalty in football, people laugh. There isn't always a lot of it, but my goodness, between fan and club, Dan, it's tribal and it's a religion.
I haven't heard you this passionate about, I know you love your sport, but you're worried about your sport.
I'm concerned very much so. I feel that the pyramid of English football in the UK, again, something that I wouldn't expect anyone in the States to understand, but it's not just the Premier League, Dan. I think I've told you this before. There are five divisions underneath that, and they're all professional. And these are professional players. Now, the money from the Premier League trickles down to all of these clubs that make up the local towns and villages in the UK. And the worry, Dan, is this, that if the six teams from the Premier League go into the European Super League and become so rich, the dream is over in the Premier League, because the Premier League becomes totally non-competitive, because these six will have so much money that nobody could ever compete. And then they'll have 14 clubs in the Premier League trying to get into a Champions League, which won't have any champions in it, which means you can finish eighth in the Premier League and get into the Champions League, because these other six don't want any part of the Champions League. And all of a sudden, the Premier League becomes non-competitive. The broadcast rights would be nowhere near the value they are now. And the money and the dream doesn't trickle down to all these clubs below, which is the very essence of English football. So my concern is that hasn't been thought through. And we are yet, of course, to see the full plan, because we still haven't seen exactly what these owners want. Let's get the full plan and carry on this conversation. But it's a passionate time. We do need to be cool heads and calm heads. There are rumors today that it might crumble. So let's see where it goes. But yeah, I am concerned for the future of my sport, for sure.
How can I help?
You need to spread the word, Dan. I need to come on here every single day.
Every day.
We need to have these conversations.
Yes. Every day.
Dan Patrick, your 5 minutes or 5 seconds of soccer or whatever it is you do, 20 seconds of soccer. Yeah, we need to up that. And I know I've got people watching today who agree with me. We need more conversations with Dan Patrick.
Now, you know, I've been watching some documentaries. I watched the one on Leeds. I watched Sunderland Till I Die.
Right.
Just letting you know, I support the cause and I like the relegated, you know, programs, the teams.
Here's my question to you, Dan. I know it wouldn't work over in the US, relegation, because you're far too down the line, certainly in the NFL, and there's no real league underneath it. But the relegation promotion, I mean, that does it not? It adds so much, doesn't it? You can understand.
Yes. Well, you could do this in college football. Let's say you took the top 20 programs, and then you could get, you know, two drop each year, and then two college football programs go up. Then that would resonate with people, and they'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. That's costly. And that's what it is. It's devastating when you drop financially, when you are relegated. Devastating.
Of course it is. People are laid off. It's terrible. And this is what makes the drama of football so engaging and addictive. And of course, in the States, things are different and it's done in a different way. And I wouldn't expect them to just bring in relegation, but my goodness, it would make it better. But I wouldn't expect that. But over in Europe, it's something that can't change. It's been there for hundreds of years. And I think what people are scared of is that what makes the game so beautiful looks like at the moment is going to be removed, Dan.
And it doesn't help your team, Crystal Palace. They still aren't any good. So none of this helps you, right?
You never know. I mean, if the top six finish in the top six places and Crystal Palace were to finish seventh, I mean, basically we're champions. So I'm going to go all in for this. I'm okay with that.
It's great to talk to you. Keep your head up. Got a lot of time, you know, for cooler heads, smarter people to. I know you follow the money, and unfortunately, when you follow the money, it's going to lead to this, but hopefully it doesn't. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Dan, I'll be back tomorrow, of course.
Of course. Okay. Yes. Todd, make sure you book Rebecca for tomorrow.
Confirmed.
All right. Thank you. That's Rebecca Lowe. There is a Premier League match later on today. It is Chelsea versus Brighton. And the Super League team would be a 20-team league made up of 15 permanent members. The remaining five compromised from teams that qualify throughout domestic European League competition. Yes, Paulie?
You've been to Brighton, England?
Yes, I have.
Really? That's like a coastal town, right?
Yes, it is. I took the train out of London, and we went to Brighton, and I wanted to go play pinball because Pete Townsend and the Who's sang about Pinball Wizard and sure plays a mean pinball. I didn't find a pinball machine in Brighton, but yeah, it's on the coast. It was beautiful. Very, very, very cold, the water. Breezy in Brighton. Yes, Eden.
Somebody just had a funny tweet about, you know, how sort of like in sports, we always look back at different eras and players and were they great and were they not great?
Yeah.
It said, I just realized in 50 years, kids are going to say Ronaldo and Messi played against farmers and didn't do it in the Super League. Like, yeah, their era. Yeah, but who were they playing against?
Yeah.
They didn't do it in Super League. They did it against, you know, all those other teams.
We'll take a break back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.